Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the radio ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Barb Gretsch. I'm your host for today, and I'm speaking with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, and the author of Critical Issues Commentary. In our current series, we are critiquing John Mark Comer's recent book, Practicing the Way. We are currently looking at a section of his book that covers the goal of becoming like Jesus. And John Mark Comer has laid out a developmental process that he and the experts he cites are recommending and laying out as the path to union with God. Bob, how is that different than what God has promised us in Christ?
It's different in that it's based only on humans as they are in Adam. In biblical Christianity, there are two sorts of people, those who are in Adam, who are spiritually dead, and those in Christ, who've been made alive. That's found in 1 Corinthians 15:22, and also in the book of Romans in a number of places. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. And so you were asking some questions about this between our sessions here, and I think they were very good ones. And do you want to ask a few more things about that? And
Bob, you had talked about how the process that we're reading about in John Mark Comer's book begins in the mother's womb, that formation begins before we have choices involved. And I was wondering, how is that different than Ephesians 1:4, where it says that we have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that God chose us in Christ before we had any say in the matter? How is that not deterministic?
Okay, very good question. And here's the answer to that. The determinism of the social engineers is based on humans as they are in Adam, without regeneration and without being new creatures in Christ. It's designed for all people as they are. And it ignores the biblical doctrine of the fall because it puts everyone in the same camp. And it's assuming that people who go to church are Christian and that they need this same spiritual formation process, which is based on psychological theories and social engineering processes and whatever they're trying to do to get undetermined. And I heard this at Bethel Seminary when they brought in some of this stuff toward the end of the time I was there, that it would go on the rest of your life. And you're probably going to need counseling. So Barb, I asked you this question. The answer is, it's designed for those who don't know Christ. And they put everybody in the same camp. Now, it's talking about Christians. Most Christians, they say, are never turned into people of love, or they never make these process through the steps. We talked about that last time. Why do they say that? Because of the millions and millions, even billions of people that are part of Christendom and go to churches, a tiny, tiny fraction are born of God. Even those that go to evangelical churches, often the majority of the people grew up in church and are immersed in church culture, but maybe have never truly repented and believed the gospel and been born of God. And so you have the seeker churches that don't want to make these distinctions, and Catholic churches, which have their own priesthood. We were talking a little bit about Hebrews, we're going to do more. They have their own high priest, their own priesthood, besides the priesthood of every believer, their own sacrifices, their own processes, their own cathedrals that are like temples. And so they're really doing what the book of Hebrews warns against. So there's a couple billion Christians who don't have formation going on, but are not born of God and don't understand the once for alls. Plus all this other Christendom. So there's where we're not connecting with people that are seeing this other material. I'm talking about a Christian as someone who's born of God and part of the family of God, who's an heir of Christ and given exceedingly great and precious promises. And as you said, Barb, Ephesians 1, predestined, and that we will be, through what God is doing, through the means he's ordained, conformed to the image of Christ. So what we believe is that God has appeased his wrath against our sin by sending God the Son to die for sins once for all. That's true. So we don't need to get undetermined going back to the mother's womb. What was determined was that we're in Adam and we're dead. Okay? For the Christian, what's true is that we now are in Christ and have been given the promises. And God ordains the means by which we come to God and grow in God and are assured that the outcome will be conformity to the image of Christ. That's a promised outcome. And it doesn't depend on a process of self-discovery, of a journey inward, a journey outward, separated by a dark night of the soul. All of these things. This is a symptom of a Christianity, this Christianity in name only, because people are trying to be like Jesus who don't even know him truly as their Savior.
Wow, that's very helpful. Thank you, Bob.
And it really shouldn't be shocking, okay? I grew up in a liberal church. We got a nice email from somebody who had been under this Robert Mulholland, highly endorsed by Comer and cited by Comer. And in the email, he told us, this stuff isn't Christian. And the people that he ran into that were bringing Mulholland's material in to their seminary didn't believe, finally admitted, they didn't believe the actual Christian doctrines that everyone's supposed to believe, the resurrection of Christ and the various things like that. So this is not really Christian. So John Mark Comer's trying to make people apprentices to a Christ they don't even know as their Savior. And if you do know him as your Savior, you know that you can't be an apprentice and do what he did, because the Bible says he's the unique one, the monogenes, the only one of his kind in John chapter 1. So there, that's the answer. And so when we're talking about these promises, we're talking to Christians who've received them and believed them. And if you, as a Christian, decide that you're not satisfied with the way God gave you to draw near to God, which we introduced last time and we'll cite here again, and that is through the once for all shed blood of Jesus and the throne of grace, then the whole book of Hebrews applies. Because the people there that were the recipients of the letter to the Hebrews were tempted to go back to the temple. Go back to the temple, which was still standing. The sacrifices were still being made. The Day of Atonement was still being practiced. They still had a high priest. And it was all tangible. It was all sensual. The smells, the incense, the robes, the ceremony, all the things people love that we don't have because we're just going to Christ and we believe in him whom we have not seen. Okay? And therefore, what do you Christians have to offer? We have this magnificent temple. What do you have? Oh, well, we gather in homes and we pray and we break bread and we read the scriptures and we teach the Bible to each other and we have someone help us understand the Bible better. And that's what we have. Oh, ho hum. Look at that compared to the temple. So that's the dynamic. Same thing's going on today, only differently. We may have a building now. It's not a sin to have a building, but the building's not the church. The people are. And we have promises. So that's the difference. And so I don't know what to say to people. I would say examine yourself in this regard, not the self-examination the spiritual formation people have, but examine yourself in the way the apostle taught, whether Christ is in you. If you truly know Christ, if you're really His, and you belong to Him, and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that you are His own, you are a son or daughter of the King, or not. And if not, that's the problem, not the lack of spiritual formation. And if so, then these other things amount to apostasy. It's an abomination to God, having received all of these glorious promises and then gone back. And Hebrews talks about that. And it's called apostasy. Well, no, I don't really think it's enough that Christ died for my sins. I don't think it's enough to go to the throne of grace. I don't think it's enough to fellowship with just ordinary Christians who love Jesus and read the Bible together. I want a cathedral. I want a high priest. I want incense. I want smells and bells and a full-blown sensual experience and this Christian thing of believing the truth of the Bible. Really doesn't do it for me. I want something more. And the something more is what the Bible calls apostasy. Because they had the temple and they could just go there. I know people who had that same inclination and they went back to Rome because the Roman system is very similar to the one they had in Temple Judaism. In fact, it almost mimics it. And Temple Judaism was judged in 70 AD, and there will be a rebuilt temple, and there will be a revival of that, but it'll happen under Antichrist because that's what people want. But some will cling to the true Christ, and then we'll have the millennial kingdom. So let's just lay that all out there. We were starting in Hebrews. Let's look at some more Hebrews, I think.
Sounds great.
Looking at Hebrews, let me go to Hebrews 12. Look, no, first Hebrews 7:25. Do you have that there? Do you want to read Hebrews 7:25?
Got it right here. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
Hebrews 7:25. Now let's compare that to the process that we're told that we're failing if we don't really get on board with. Recognition of God, life of discipleship, productive life, the wall, journey inward, journey outward, life of love. Very few reach their full potential. So you don't reach your potential because you didn't follow this sociologically defined process that you can't find in the Bible. That's what he's offering. Or Robert Mulholland, all of these things we talked about that find union with God. They're all drawn from the creation. They're not revealed by biblical prophets like Moses and the prophets or Christ and his apostles and prophets. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, based on what he did once for all, he's able to save forever. All right, let's compare the two. The Bible says he, our one high priest, Jesus Christ, who made his sacrifice once for all, shed innocent blood, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and he did so once for all that he might cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, and he's able to save forever. Compare that to this journey that the sociologists endorsed by John Mark Comer are telling us that we're on, that began in a mother's womb, and then we start trying to do the spiritual side of it, and you never get done with it. And they say hardly anybody gets there. So you spend your life doing some sort of process that can never take away sins. They're not even talking about taking away sins. They're talking about being better people or following some life of love and being like Jesus. How can you be like Jesus if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior? And if you do, then why do you want some process he never ordained? That's just simply unbelief. Okay? So, able to save forever. For how long? Until
forever.
You have a bad day? Until you get discouraged? Or until some other deterministic thing from your past came along and got you? No, forever. Now, who are those who are saved forever? Those who draw near to God through him. Union with God through Eastern processes or Roman Catholic monasticism or whatever version you're doing is not the same as drawing near to God through him. This drawing near is done because of what he did for us, and we believe the promises of God. The blood of Jesus cleanses our sin. All right, so we draw near to God through him. Okay, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So we don't need gurus. Richard Foster's celebration of, I call it celebration of deception. That's who he's going to recommend. Some process of getting revelations or hearing voices or whatever that ordinary Christians don't have. We don't need this. We don't need Fuller Seminary's social gospel. We don't need Mulholland's union with God. We don't need the rhythms of life by that he'll also recommend, the sacred rhythms. No, the rhythms aren't going to save you. Christ does. He lives to make intercession for them. Now, what are we saying? Oh, that doesn't do me any good. Is that what you're saying, dear Christian? That Christ interceding for you doesn't do you any good? Is that anything but unbelief or an affront to the Lord himself? Because we read last week that he has paid the price once for all. We draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. So we receive mercy and grace. What do we receive in our time of need? Mercy, because we're still sinners. We're not perfected. And timely help. The Greek there implies help that comes just in time when we need it. He cares for us. He answers. He makes intercession for us. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. That's in Romans 8. And that the Lord himself intercedes for us, that he's giving us hope and promises. So I commend everyone who hears this to what God has given us in Christ. If you're going to a church that never tells you these things, that has you running through various programs trying to find something, or spiritual formation, which is not sanctification, it's not taught in the Bible, it's not from God, it'll never perfect you, it'll never bring you to forgiveness of sins. Spiritual formation is a product of religious innovators who don't know God. Because if they did know God, they'd believe what these things say in the Bible, and they wouldn't get in this treadmill of determinism. And so Barb, you asked what's determined. Well, in the case of the lost, that you're in Adam and that you die. What's determined for the Christian? Not every single Christian is going to be identical, and that we don't have any freedom or liberty. No, what's determined is that we'll be conformed to the image of Christ, and that He is carrying us by His power through the means He's ordained all the way to glory, and He will get us to where He's bringing us. And that when we get there, we're adopted sons and daughters of the Lord, and therefore we have an inheritance, undefiled, kept in heaven for us. And I just say to everyone, if you don't know Christ, come to Him. If you do, believe His promises. And if you hear about these social programs of spiritual formation based on innovators who aren't teaching the gospel, run, get out of it. And I've talked to people, they went to the pastor, why are you bringing this stuff in? Well, we got to have a program. No, you don't. You need to have the gospel. God has His program, and it's called sanctification through the means He's ordained.
Praise the Lord. That is wonderful, Bob. Thank you for the encouragement in the scriptures. We want to remind you that you can access this program and many others, as well as years' worth of articles, at the website cicministry.org. And we want to remind all of you, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel. For Critical Issues Commentary, this has been Barb Gretsch and
Bob DeWay.
And we'll see you soon. Thank you.